All right, God wants spiritual fruits and not religious nuts. You really can't see all of that. But that's really what the Lord wants. He wants to give us some special fruit in our life. And so that's what we're dealing with and talking about. It's changing, God changing us, miraculously working in our life. So many times we want to see the Lord move out here, and that's okay, because that's where we all come to the Lord, and that's where we all grow at. But God uses those times, just uses the battles we're engaged with to cause us to move into a much closer place with Him. And then when we move into that closer place with Him, we get to a place then where God can begin to change us on the inside. And that's really what God's heart is. God's heart is that He would change our whole world from the inside out. And so many times, and most time, usually all prayer requests, almost all deal with the outside. But it's truly the inside that God wants to work the strongest in. Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it's got this scripture. It says, these two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control. Somebody says, how do I know when the Lord's really wanting to develop fruit of the Spirit in me? This one is given there right in the midst of what it's talking about. It's talking about works of the flesh. And it lists out the works of the flesh. And there's this that's working in us at all times. The Bible says here is constantly. In defense of that, this scripture says this is a constant battle that's going on inside of us. But the Holy Spirit, those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, then He brings fruit. And the word "but" is just described there by telling me it's in opposition to what the enemy's trying to do. The time that God is trying to work the fruit in us the strongest is the time that we feel most opposition to being fruitful. It's those times that we really feel discouraged, or the times that we really feel anger. Those are the very moments the opposing side is working. If the opposing side is working, God's side is working by His Holy Spirit. So always know that when you're being fought the hardest in the flesh, it's because God has chosen it as a time of fruitfulness in your life. And the way that you know that God is working in your life, because the enemy is trying to counteract what God's doing. So he's working a flesh move and God's working a spiritual move. And what I believe the Lord wants us to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, He wants us to learn how to yield to Him instead of just giving way to our flesh or just feeling like that's the way we are. God wants to oppose what the enemy or what the works of the flesh are trying to do in us. And God wants to bring change. Can you say amen? God wants to use my storm to change me. Now, God, it's not the storm in itself, but it's the strength that I get in the midst of that storm. It's the place that I gain in the Lord to overcome that storm. Now, God didn't allow the storm. The enemy certainly sends the storm. He's not the one that brings that is evil in our lives. But God uses those moves of the devil. And God uses those moves to bring us to a deeper place in God. If you're really fighting in the enemy in a strong way, if you're fighting a storm that's going on, know that God didn't originate the storm. It's not the will of God that the storm would destroy you. But it is the will of God for this season to be in your life. And for this storm to cause a pursuit of God in us to bring us to a closer place. I'll be honest with you. If I hadn't had storms, I wouldn't know Jesus near as point I do. The storms I face tomorrow, I'm going to have to find a deeper place in God. The reason the Lord allows storms is not so the storms will defeat me. It's so I will find strength I've never found before. And I would find grace I've never found before. And I would find change I've never found before in my life. And so when you're being tempted to be the angriest, that's because God at that moment has chosen to develop a love walk inside you. And the way you know it, because it's the enemy's opposition. The Lord's using all of this to mold our life. God's working inside of us. God's using storms, situations, circumstances, even uses afflictions that are certainly of the enemy. But God uses those things to mold me, not to destroy. I mean, it's not what cancer taught you. It's what the place that you had to find in Jesus to overcome that cancer or to overcome that situation. Billy, this thing wasn't sent to you to be your demise. This thing was not sent against you to destroy you. this thing was sent against you so that Billy could find a grace that Billy's never had to find before. And so as you find that grace, you're going to find that God's grace is sufficient, Billy. And the grace that God will pour in you will be well able to handle that battle. The wonderful thing about it is the grace that we get when fighting the battles that we're fighting, God will then use that grace to fight His battles. That's why the Bible says the way the Lord's ministered to you is the way that you will be able to minister to others. Because when God does something wonderful and powerfully for you, you immediately know God can do that for others. Amen. So the Bible says, but when the Holy Spirit, this is in contradiction to the works of the flesh. It says the works of the flesh, and then it lists those, but we're not dealing with those right now. We're dealing with what God's doing. And said, because the works of the flesh are taking place trying to pull you. There's this pull going on. There's this pull going on to be depressed. There's this pull going on to be discouraged. There's this pull going on to back up. There's this pull going on to be angry. There's this pull going on inside us to be upset or to be bothered. But it's the Holy Spirit that's trying to use that storm to get control of my life to produce a different kind of fruit. God wants to produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. God wants to produce 5 powerful strengths in my life that will become channels of His power. We want to take gifts. We want to take the power gifts, and we want to set them some way aside. And we want to begin to think about those. We want to talk about the miracles. But let me tell you, it's the fruit that formed the channels, because it says faith worketh through a channels of love. What God's wanting to do in His power in your life, God's preceding that by preparing a channel in your life of a fruit of the Spirit. So whatever's fighting you out here, know this, God's heart is to do something wonderful in here. Amen. And God wants to develop such a way that they say you can take the fruit of the Spirit. Love is one bookend, and self-control is the other. And then the fruit of the Spirit, because it's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. One fruit. They all work together. They all hold together. It takes one. It's impossible to have love without having joy and without having peace. You can find no love, you can't find without joy and peace. And unless you get self-control in your life, anything you get is going to be short-lived. God has to develop these strengths inside of us. And they're not feelings. We want to think joy is a feeling. We want to think that peace is a feeling. But these are not feelings. They don't start off as feelings. They start off as decisions of our heart to obey God. And we just choose not to let that storm move us. We choose to get a hold of the peace and the joy of God that's going to move that storm for the glory of God. All right, the power of love. Now, the first fruit is the love, and we've already talked about that Sunday. I just want to mention a few things to you. Fruit is visible growth in Christ. The way that you know you're growing is because there's fruit of the Spirit. Your love should be getting stronger. Growing. Your love for people should be growing. Your love toward Jesus should be growing. Love should be growing. And not only love should be growing, but joy should be growing. I mean, a lot of times we think a person really gets spiritual when they get looking like a prune. That's not biblical. That's not what the joy should be growing inside of us. It should be a growth. It should be a growth going on. I love that movie Risen. The reason I love it just so much, because it had such an impact of joy. It was just filled up with joy. We had a laughing Jesus. We had laughing disciples. And even at points where we thought that shouldn't be laughed at, they were laughing. Because they seemed to find a joy. They were portraying the joy of a believer's life that we're to have. I'm going to tell you what, you may think it's odd, but Jesus wants you to be able to laugh at problems. He wants you to find a joy. In fact, Paul did it this way. Paul put suffering and joy in the same verse. Explain that. How you can be walking through suffering, but have a joy of the Lord in the midst of it. For you to be walking through all types of difficulties, but you determine it's not going to take my joy. Because my joy is my strength. A lot of times we just need to back up and laugh. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. All right, consider that fruit of the Spirit is a physical manifestation of a Christian's transformed life. It's manifest that I've been transformed. Now, I want you to just see how smart I am. And I want you to really notice how good looking I am. Or I want you to know how I cleaned up my dress since I got saved. And I want you to know I started wearing three-piece suits since I got saved. Or I want you to notice that, but those are none of the things that God says that he wants noticeable about my life. What God wants noticeable about my life. You know, it's amazing. Jesus did more than any man has ever lived has done. And today we can't tell you what the color of his hair was and to the exact length of his hair that it was. We can tell you hardly nothing about his physical form. Because Jesus wants more than what we do to be noticed. Jesus wants who we are to be noticed. And we have to work on it. We have to allow that. It's not automatic. Person just does not come out loving. It would be nice that way, but most people I see get baptized in prune juice. It doesn't come out loving. It becomes a manifestation of a decision of will that you make a decision. I'm going to be a loving person. And I'm going to allow joy to have place in my life. And it's a decision. I told you Sunday, that's where I'm wrestling right now over a situation in my life. It's hard to get stable sometimes. A lot of times we fake faith. Fake faith is when you hit with an obstacle and you just pop up and you just start saying things that you've heard people say. I call that fake faith. Because the Bible gives description that I must get stable. There's this unstable time. When you're hit with anything, you go through that moment of instability. And you go through those. I tell you, during that period of time, you need to hold your confession, and your confession just needs to be, I know God's going to take care of me. David said, when I was afraid or when I feared, I trusted God. So what you got to know during that period of time, even though you're afraid, even though fear is raging, you just got to keep your confession right. And your confession needs to say, I'm trusting God. But now that's not where your miracle, that's not miracle kind of moving faith. But that's your desiring to get stable. But then the Lord will help you to stabilize on some sure promises that he's given to you. Now, you must stabilize. I mean, just handling things off the cuff won't get it. Repeating things you heard people say won't get it. It's got to be a revelation. Do you know, it's hard to describe. Jesus worked miracle after miracle, but you hardly see two miracles duplicated. He did them differently. Every one of them was led by the Spirit in a different way. I mean, we want to say, everybody line up, I'm lay my hands on, you know, and we want to do it all alike. We want a cookie cutter. But almost every miracle that Jesus did, he was led by the Spirit. It was all different. He didn't duplicate it. Some, he put mud in their eye. But how many of you, as Jesus healed you, never put mud in your eye? You know, well, he hasn't put mud in my eye, so. That, I mean, it's Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit involvement. So when you first hit with something, it tries to knock you off your feet. But it's real important that you don't lose your confession, because you can lose the battle at that gate if you do. So you don't, you feel fear. All you want to do is run, put your head in a hole. But you can't. You got to get a confession you can live with, and it's truth. And at that moment, then David made a good confession. I'm trusting God. Amen. People say, well, how did that happen? I'm trusting God. What are you going to do about it? I'm just trusting God. How are you going to handle this? I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. But then God then will begin to stabilize your feet. Because then as you begin to seek him in his word, and you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit will begin to give a direction, because he guides us into all truth. And see, and then the Holy Spirit will guide you into specific scriptures of faith, of believing God, or whatever it is. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And then when the Holy Spirit has led you in, see, the Holy Spirit's got a path through everything. There's no temptation befalling us which he has not already made a way of escape. The Holy Spirit's already got it. When a situation faces you, God's already got it worked out how to get you out of that. It's already worked out. But it won't be cookie cutter. During that period of time, you may have to dig in deeper, and that's why that obstacle is there. You have to dig in deeper. Maybe those that have not heard God speak before, you have to hear God. Maybe those that have not had a rigid regimen of the Word of God, maybe that's going to force you to do that. It's going to be all self-discipline through the Spirit into your life. See? Maybe those that just handle life like a whiz, but maybe now you're going to have to find some real peace. You're going to have to find out how to stand in a storm and to square your feet down and have peace in this storm, because then you're going to have some long suffering, because some storms don't end in a second. Some storms don't end in a day. Some storms don't end in a month. And so you have to know how to dig your feet down, allow God then to build some long suffering. You can suffer long and not give out. Somebody said, I can last longer than the devil. You can. Amen. He has no patience. He has no patience, and you have the patient giver living right on the inside of you. So however long it takes is okay. Pray, fruit is a product of growth. Love grows. Everybody say, love grows. My love is growing. My joy is growing. My peace is growing. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. And you got to know, the reason God wants us to go deeper in love. I know, now this is going to probably hurt some of your theology. Some of you think just gaining Bible scriptures is going to fill you full of God. That is one of the agents, major agent that God uses. But this scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 says it's through love that you surpass your knowledge and you're filled with all the fullness of God. The way you're filled, according to Ephesians chapter 3, the way we're filled with all the fullness of God, I learn how to walk in love in a deeper walk. If I'm going to be more full of God, this is the only place in the Bible that tells us how to be more filled. Really? It takes the Holy Spirit moving in our life that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All of His power, all of His glory, all of His wisdom. The love walk is the only thing that will cause that to happen. And you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But this says filled with all the fullness of God. And so the only way you can get filled with all the fullness of God, the only way you can get filled with more of God than what you have right now, you've got to learn to walk deeper in love. You've got to learn to walk a deeper love walk. And if we will allow God to develop that in us, and we'll be disciplined in our lives to put that into our life, and we'll have long suffering enough. I mean, see, a lot of times people, God's telling you to love somebody, and your patience is about that far with people. And God's trying His best to develop love, because love, the first characteristic of love is love is patient. And love is kind. The first two characteristics of 1 Corinthians 13, first two characteristics of love is love is patient. And as long as you have a fuse about that long, you're not going to love anybody, really. And there's two things that keep us from being fruitful. There's two things that keeps our lives from being fruitful in the Lord. I'm talking about fruit of the Spirit that God's wanting to develop inside of. Number one is ignorance. And the next one is selfishness. Those two things are the two things that keep us from being fruitful in God. Is ignorance just not knowing? Well, I thought love is the feeling. That's the kind of love you found on the bar stool. You don't find that kind of love in God. The kind of love that God wants you to love in God, never, never, never ask what you're going to give back. Amen? Well, I suppose get in peace. Therefore, be imitators of God. So imitate God and you walk alone. Bob said, imitate God. Somebody said, I don't want to be a fake. Yes, you can. God tells you to. Imitate Him. Wear bigger britches than you have, than you can. Most of us are wearing too small of britches. But wear a bigger britches. Move into a bigger pant size of love, man. Do it. Try it. Try it out. Try loving somebody beyond what you've ever loved somebody and beyond what you've ever tried before. I tell you what, try loving your wife that way. And since Lang's here, try loving your husband that way. All right. If necessary, agape love will even sacrifice itself for the sake of that object or the person it so deeply cherishes. Agape love is the highest form of love, isn't it? Agape love is love that has no strings attached, is what it says. It's what the Word of God declares. There's no strings attached in it. It isn't looking for what it can get. It's not looking for what it can do. And the first, you blow love the first time you walk in the church and get mad about somebody snubbing you. You've just blown your walk of love. Isn't that right? All right, but because the seed of God's word has been sown in our hearts, we have the capacity. Everybody say we got the capacity to really, really love. If I'll do some stretching, there's a capacity inside me to really, really be able to love and to walk in love. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, that genuine agape love. This is in one verse of 1 Corinthians 13. This is the last verse that tells how love is, except the 8th verse says love never fails. But the 7th verse, it covers these areas. It says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. 4 things is found in verse 7 about love, about me being able to love more, if I'm going to be filled with more of God. All right, beareth all things, believeth all things. And let me tell you, we need to get serious about developing more love in all of our lives. I mean, we would have God. There would be no cancers able to live in this church. There would be no depression that could live in this church. There would be no, if we could get full enough full of God, you understand? But the problem is, the only way we can get there is to get the fullness of God is to find a deeper walk of love. Let's just look at these. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. We're going to talk about those 4 things real quick here. Real love sees everything. Now, real love, we say it's blind, but it's not blind. It sees, but it makes some choices. That's why I can believe all things, hope all things, endureth all things, and beareth all things. Real love sees, but it makes choices. It makes a decision once it sees. Real love sees everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But because agape is so filled with faith, it pushes the disconcerting, disturbing, negative realities out of the way. There's not a one of us that you can't tell us enough about people you know to make everybody not want to have anything to do with them. But real love pushes those negative things out of the way. It's not that it's blind. It can see well. Love sees well. But love makes some decisions to love people anyway. Amen? This doesn't mean agape real love ignores problems or challenges. It doesn't do that at all. Because real love is so strong. Real love is so strong. In fact, one version said it never wears out. You cannot push real love beyond a point that it can't still give. You cannot push real love. You cannot push real love. There's no lines or limits with real love. It just makes a choice to see beyond the problems, conflict. That's what faith is. And what God challenges us to develop our love is because it's really the development of faith. Because faith is being able to see something that you can't see. It's able to believe something that you can't see. And so what loving people that are unlovely, what it does or that you're challenged by, it pushes your faith. It pushes all of our faith to believe beyond what we can see. Well, she's just done that the last time to me. I mean, that's the last time I'm going to ever allow him to say that to me again. But see, real love pushes. It has this tremendous strength associated with it. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. It can only come spiritual. Now, there is a worldly love. There is a worldly love. And what we do in the church so many times, we compare our love with the world love. And we go on jobs, and Johnny did us bad on the far end of that assembly line. And we remember that, and so I'm never going to forgive him for that. And I'm just waiting for an opportunity to get him back. See, that's the way the world loves. And if we're not careful as believers, we will begin to operate on jobs with that same kind of love. And if we're not careful, it'll spread into our family. And we'll begin to love our family with that very same kind of love and feel justified at it. And totally ignoring the power of the Spirit that's available. The power of the Spirit. And I'll tell you what. The Spirit of God kicks in all of our life much better when we've gone as far as we can go. But we keep pushing beyond it. When you go as far as you can go and you just keep pushing. See, there's a strength in this love. That's why there's a discipline that's associated in the fruit of the Spirit. There's this tremendous long suffering that will not quit. I can suffer long. See, the devil thinks that he can convince some of you that you'll never get healed. So what he does, he just keeps that pain there. And because you won't use your faith and say, I can last beyond this, I believe God, then he wears you out at that point. Love is attached, has this part of love that is so long-suffering, it can suffer long and suffer longer and can even suffer longer than that and still can go beyond that. So the energizer bunny that will just won't quit, that love just keeps on, and until we push it there, we never know we can do it. We never know we can fly unless we get out of the plane. Somebody says, the only way I am going to fly is in a plane. Yeah, me too. We just don't know what's in us and the capabilities that's in us. Because we're so used to being held in by our natural feelings and natural limitations that we put on ourselves. We have no idea what we can believe God for. And we have no idea who we can love. Man, if we could get this released, or if we could release the way the Holy Spirit's wanting to do in all of our lives, man, there's probably no limit to what God could do with all of us. No limit. Man, we'd have ministry, got centers, ministry homes, caring about the poor, caring about we would have all types of things going on because we would be so amazed at this push. Now, there's very something, I'm just like you. There's been a few times because of the storm I was facing that I've been forced out of my comfort zone. I mean, it was do that. There's been a few times I've been, just like you, there's been a few times that I've been forced out of that comfort zone. And I would be completely amazed because I had no idea that was in me. But what would it be if we could really live a life of faith? Because see, not only is it love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, but there's also faith that's connected in that with the fruit of the Spirit. Major link of the fruit of love is faith, and it goes beyond that. Not only is it faith, but it's faithful, full of faith. And when you're full of faith, you just don't stop because it's connected to the long suffering, which is connected to self-control, that you're able to stand in the hardest of situations and just keep your joy and keep on loving. And the amazing thing, you're able to keep peace in the midst of that storm. Let me close with this story. I want to just, Brett, can y'all play again? Or are we over and out with that? That last song y'all did, that would just be a sweet one for us to go out with tonight if we could. Somebody want to answer my phone over there? Will you tell them I'm preaching and I'll call them later?
Give me this side.
Oh yeah. Let's have it. Go ahead, give a word. Praise God. Good word.
I miss God, and I ask.
Yes, Lord.
And I want to obey Him. Yes. Would have had a stronger impact if I would have given it before Brother Jerry preached, because it was exactly when he preached. When we were praying and people were praying for each other, the Lord just very strongly And that admonition said, we will never, ever receive what he wants us to receive if we do not realize that it's already on the inside of us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
If you're asking him to do things that he's already done, he is not going to answer those prayers.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We have to develop an intimate fellowship with the Spirit of God that has come to live on the inside of us. And when we do that, he will begin. See, we are anointed. Amen?
Amen.
We have an anointing. That's the same thing Jesus had. We have the ability through that anointing to walk with Father just like Jesus walked with him. Brother Jerry's saying, Jesus didn't do things in patterns. No, because he didn't do anything unless he heard the Father or saw the Father do it. Amen. That's why it was different every time.
Amen.
Amen. When they came, told him about Lazarus, the Bible says he loved him, so he stayed there 2 days. I always thought, why didn't you just get up and hightail it right on over there? Because he couldn't. He could not go over there and raise Lazarus up.
That's right.
He had to get instructions from Father.
Amen.
See, because we haven't understood this, we're always trying to... We think of God in heaven, and he is, and Jesus is in heaven. But what he came to do is make us one. And we've made Jesus, and he is. Now, this is not religious. Don't get upset when I say, because we've thought of him as just able to do anything he wanted to at any time, we've put him up on a place that he never intended to be. And we think, we could never be like that. We could never do that. He's Jesus and I'm just little old me, but that's not what he wants.
Amen.
He wants us one. He came for us to be one, one spirit, so that we can think like he thinks, so that we can see what he sees, so that we see things the way him and Father see them, so that we can get the information or the wisdom, really, it's not coming from there. It comes from right here.
Yeah.
It's when you focus inwardly and you begin to listen with the ears of your spirit. You begin to believe that he's in here and you train yourself to go there and into the... It's really the secret place, Brother Jerry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the Holy of Holies. It's the place where Jesus said, when you pray, go in to
shut
your closet and shut the door behind you. It's not a physical closet. You can have a physical closet. But it means block everything out and get down in here and hear what God says.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And beloved, I'm telling you, where we're going and where we are, I'm telling you, the devil is on a rampage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have got to develop a hearing ear. And a fellowship and a relationship with the Holy Ghost. You need and I need to be hearing God every single day. We need to be listening to the Word, listening to anointed preaching every single day. And we're going in places. Brother Jerry, you know that scripture when I first came back, and it was in 2 Corinthians 4, where God says, we which live are delivered over to death. I never really understood that till just the other day. If in us is the answer, right? Then why wouldn't God put us in a place that is turmoil, confusion, darkness? If the light is in us, and just say we're flashlights, wouldn't God put us in a place where darkness is, so that his light can shine, and so that what's in us can be seen? Amen.
Yeah.
See, the trials come to destroy you, but God's already put light in us. Amen.
Amen.
And if we can hear and stand on His word in the midst of that trial, then the process begins to happen and we'll get the light, we'll get the wisdom, we'll get understanding, and we'll shine and boom. What would happen to a normal person won't happen to us.
Amen. 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 Oh, that's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank You. We just thank You, Lord. You're so good to us, Lord. And Lord, You're so wonderful to deal with us where the rubber meets the road of our life. My relationship with Elaine, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my brothers and sisters, all of that is to shine forth You. Brings me to a place, Lord, where I see that I need to desperately move in Your power. Lord, help us to be lovers.
Yes.
Help us to be strong lovers.
Yes.
Help us to be patient lovers. Help us to be kind lovers. Help us to be gentle lovers. Lord, help us to be self-controlling lovers.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us to be faithful lovers.
Hallelujah.
By Your Spirit, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Working in us. In Jesus' name.